people are so focused on making the perfect reel that they're not even able to pay attention to the core pieces of business, which is partnering with people, developing leaders. And it's just become a dying piece of the business. It's really sad. Since 2020, especially, I think there are earners and there's leaders. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to have a sustainable business, not just in network marketing, but in any business, you've got to become a leader.
Welcome to the biggest network marketing mistakes podcast, where we share the jaw-dropping stories and lessons behind the top 1% network marketers' massive team building mistakes so you don't make them. Prepare to be blown away as we peel back the layers and expose the untold secrets and hacks deployed by the industry's finest. This podcast is designed specifically for faith-based network marketing leaders who refuse to sacrifice precious family time in pursuit of success. Ditch the burnout and embrace a life of freedom. I'm your host, Megan Miles, network marketing pro with over a decade of experience in the field, here to serve you. Let's get started.
What's up, everybody? Super excited to be here. It's Megan Miles. I'm joined today with my friend Kimberly Merritt.
Hi.
So excited for you to hear from her in just a few minutes. I am double checking because, of course, the live is not showing. It's so weird. Like, shows and then it doesn't show. So I can't figure out this stupid StreamYard thing. It's been ever since Facebook. Facebook's always changing.
It is always changing. I know. I don't see it yet.
But real quick, we were just saying people are so focused on making the perfect reel that they're not even able to pay attention to the core pieces of business, which is partnering with people, developing leaders. And it's just become a dying piece of the business. It's really sad. Since 2020, especially, I think there are earners and there's leaders. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to have a sustainable business, not just in network marketing, but in any business, you've got to become a leader. So yep. I'm going to turn it over for a second for my friend Kim to introduce herself, give a little bit of her background. But just so you guys know, she's a top leader. She's been recognized in her company annually in company sales and recruiting multiple years in the past. She's a member of the company advisory council, and she's certified in Enneagram coaching. So this is a hot topic right now. I'm super excited to get into this. I think I'm like a 7-8 something. We're going to talk about it in a minute. I'm so 7-wing-8 that I don't even know what I am.
You know, we're going to figure this out one day.
My friend. But so let's give her some love. Let's drop a 1 in the comments. Drop a hello. Drop a heart. And Kim, let's hear all about you while I try to make sure this is...
You work on the technical difficulties and I'll keep talking. so fun. Yes. Hi, my name is Kim Merritt. I'm super excited to be here and chat with you guys about this topic. We were going to talk about something else. And this morning, Megan was like, let's talk about leadership. And I was like, yes, because it's actually like my favorite thing when it comes to the Enneagram. So a little bit about me. Where do I start? I have been in direct sales for over 13 years at this point. Same company as Lemongrass Spa Products. Absolutely love it. And, you know, throughout the course of my career with them, it's just been crazy. If you've been in the industry for even just a few years, even since 2020, like, you have seen and experienced like the ebbs and the flows and how things have evolved and changed. But like, so much has stayed the same. And I think that we have kind of forgotten about those basic things that have stayed the same because we've almost been too distracted, right, by all the different things that have changed. And so, you know, this is kind of how the Enneagram comes into it for me, is that, you know, it was a few years ago, a friend was like, I think you would really enjoy checking out the Enneagram. And I looked into it and immediately it just felt to me like this missing piece of leader, not just leadership, but just of with dealing with people, with working with people, with communicating with people, which as people, as sellers, right, as leaders, as team builders, as professionals, right, we work with people, whether it's face to face or whether it's online. And I think that when you can understand more of someone's perspective and understand your own perspective and your own communication style best, that's when you can truly connect in this wild, fast-paced digital world that we're in. So I started, I'm a military spouse. I started my business when I lived in Okinawa, Japan, and I was one doing in-home parties. that's how I got started, was back in the day of in-home parties, and I absolutely loved it. And then in came this digital age of Facebook events and social selling and platform after platform after platform, right? And you know, the thing that I really felt so strongly about was really all that we're doing is taking an in-person experience and we're translating it to a digital world, right? And again, I think Megan hit the nail on the head when she's like, we're too focused on making the perfect reel that you're actually forgetting about what truly matters in any business industry, any sales or team building based industry, anything with leadership, right? Like if you're in business, you are a leader. Congratulations. it is the fact that it's connectivity and it's with people. So understanding, you know, being introduced to the Enneagram and then spending a year getting certified as an Enneagram educator, as an Enneagram coach, it's just something that really not only took my marketing and you know, sales to a different level, but it's something that actually really opened up a new avenue of passion for leadership for me personally. And it helped me connect more with people. It helped me meet them where they're at and actually bring people up as a like linking arms and walking next to people, as opposed to feeling like I was always having to be the cheerleader or the person behind them, like pushing the boulder up the mountain or the other direction, right? I mean, like, I'm sure you felt like this, Megan, before, where you're trying to help someone promote, you're trying to help someone get to their goal, right? You want it so bad for them because they've communicated that they want this, and you feel exhausted trying to push dozens of people up this rocky hill and also not fall and tumble down yourself. And that is where I feel like the Enneagram has just come in, is it's given me insight to not just my core motivations, my, you know, best way of communicating my strengths, but also the different perspectives and strengths and core motivations and communication tendencies of those around me. So it has just really allowed me to move myself, shuffle myself from the person who's cheerleading, who's pushing up, who's pulling up, who's like working so hard, always has to have like iron in the fire, right? To the person who is like, I'm going this way and I would love for you to come with me. Like, are you interested? So it's just been transformative, I feel like, when it comes to this industry and just leadership in general.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'm excited because as we've been talking and, you know, so the Enneagram is essentially like, would you call it a personality type of, what would you say it's called?
Yeah. So the Enneagram is, it is like a personality assessment, but I always say it's really like the onion of a personality assessment, because it's not just talking about traits and characteristics and strengths, but it actually goes so deep where it's talking about your core motivations as a person, like your actual core motivation. So everybody fits into one of nine categories, one of nine different types. And, you know, I say the reality is we all have different traits and characteristics and things that overlap, right? Like I'm sure you're, you know, familiar with DISC or like the color personality test or even Myers-Briggs, right? Well, for example, let's take someone who would be like, I'm a type A personality. That doesn't mean every type A personality is the same Enneagram type. But what's so cool is what we do is we figure out why you feel like you're a type A personality. Is it because you feel like your, you know, value comes from your next achievement? Is it because you feel like it is right to be orderly and organized, right? So what we really do is with the Enneagram is you dig into the core motivations that's underlying and behind your patterns and behaviors and even your strengths and your weaknesses. And that is, it's really this like internal GPS for the dynamics that are happening on in your head, your heart, and with your instincts. So it just gives you this roadmap to success that most people don't even know is there.
I love that. Well, yeah. I love that you say too, because I often call myself type A, but I am not type A in the sense of like, because I feel it's right to be orderly and organized. Right. I'm type A because I'm a control freak sometimes because it stems from my childhood trauma, like everyone else. It's my need for control so Megan doesn't get disappointed. So yeah. She doesn't get hurt, right? It's my protection.
Yes.
I'm not the traditional type A, even though I have a lot of type A tendencies. It's not out of, you know. So that's really cool to hear. And, you know, it's really, I love when you can learn about people because you can help them more, right? Yes. Like, and we're going to dive into this more, but when you're partnering with someone or when you're helping someone launch or say yes to the business, or say yes to a product, you know, the more you know of what fuels them and what drives them, like you said, their core motivation, the more you can serve them to their goal. Yes. Because sales, you know, is serving and partnering with people is serving, right? And a transformation isn't made until a transaction is made. And I think a lot of people get hung up on that. It's the same thing. Like, I can't help someone transform to their goal until they say yes to working towards the goal. Until they say, yes, I want you to partner with me. Otherwise, yeah, I am going to feel like I'm really, really pushing, right?
Yes.
So, so remind me, let's just give them an example. Let's use me as an example. I'm kind of nervous.
I'm ready.
I mean, you can't go over every single, I mean, you could give like a rough explanation of each if you want.
Yeah.
You know, we can't dive super deep into every single number, but it's 1 through 9, right? And I think you told me I'm a 7 wing 8 or something. Is that right? Is that
You have told me that you think you are a 7 wing 8, which is what I am, which is
why are we like connected?
I know, right? It was like this instant, like, who is this girl on the internet? Like, I resonate with her. Like,
you stalked me. Let's be honest.
I did a little bit.
I stalked her too. It's
all
okay.
Of her stuff. Like, she's like, who's this girl? Her email keeps popping up and all my things. Yes. So there are 9 different types. There are 9 different types. Type 1 is known as the reformer or the perfectionist. And, you know, again, we would need a while to go through all the core motivations of everything. I'm actually in the process of developing a free course. So if you are interested in just a brief overview of all the 9 types, I do have a free digital download that you are welcome to. We can post the link. And I am like finalizing a free course, you know, just to kind of go through them as well. So there's my little plug for all my freebies coming out.
Perfect.
But you know, type 1 is known as the reformer. And, you know, they are thing with them. They're the ones who almost have this lens where they see possible improvements everywhere. they have kind of an inner critic that is a little bit berating and constantly kind of, you know, running through their head. And it's all based on what they should be, could be improving about themselves, others, and the world around them. So that is a type 1. Their core fear is being bad, being corruptible, being on the wrong side. And their core motivation is to be good, to be, you know, not just to be seen as good, but to actually be good, to have high integrity, very orderly, very conscientious. Type 2s are known as the helper. They are the individuals, they're the first members of the feelings triad. So they are big, big feelers, they're heart-centered people, and they are motivated by serving others. You're not all type 2s. Okay. I'm just going to say, like, everyone immediately is like, I like helping others. I'm a type 2.
Funny. I'm like, that's not me. I do love helping people. I'm 100% like out there of like, that's not me. That's not you.
Okay.
I love helping people though. Not to say I'm selfish, but I have no problem saying that's not me.
That is not for me. That is so funny. Usually I get a lot, especially women, a lot of women are like, oh, I'm a type 2. And I'm like, you know, no, like, but type 2s, they are literally motivated by helping others. So type 2s can struggle with people pleasing, with boundaries, with codependency, because they are so others focused that they forget about themselves. And so it's always like for type 2s, I'm like, you got to remember to fill up your cup before you're trying. You can't pour from an empty cup, right? You can't constantly run on empty. So type 2s, they feel like they find their love, their value, their validation based off of what they do for others around them. And they have a core fear. What they always try to avoid is to be unlovable or to be abandoned. So type threes are known as the achievers. We probably have a lot of achievers in this industry. They are also members of the heart triad, the feeling center. And they are, you know, usually very relatively organized. I would say, here's what's cool about type threes. I'm going to give you like my, here's what I love about threes. And here's the struggle that comes along with that. The longer I do this, the more I realize that strengths and weaknesses are only divided by a very tiny thin line. Like something that is a weakness could very well be a superpower strength when it is leveraged properly, right? So type threes, they are visionary individuals. They're visionary individuals. And what's great is they can see things from a 30,000 foot view, but then they can also see the 25 to 30 different paths that you could take in order to get there. So they're very detail oriented. They can be very, very organized. They're very goal oriented. Now the struggle for a type three is often picking their lane. Right? They see all 30 different options to get to where they want to go. And so what tends to happen with threes when they're a little bit, you know, struggled, or they're not having the right guidance, or they're just not being very intentional, is they can jump from path to path to path to path, and they move sideways as opposed to moving up. So I say for type threes, you know, you want to really pick a lane and just go all in, because you're going to do it, right? You're going to do it, and you're going to do it faster and more productive when you can stay focused and have that, you know, kind of have those blinders on, as opposed to, oh, wait, I bet this will be better. Oh, wait, I bet this will be better. Oh, wait, I bet that'll be better. Type threes thrive in recognition. They thrive with recognition. So being, they want to be seen and valued. Now they can struggle with committing to too many things, because they do feel like, you know, they feel sometimes that their worth or their ability to be loved is directly connected to their next achievement. So type threes are known as the achievers. And then we have type fours. They are the, they're known as the romantic or the individualist. They are like motivated by authenticity, true authenticity. For a type four, authenticity is like air to them. So they are not ones to conform. They want to make their, it's not that they want to necessarily make their own path, but they want to make sure that their path is their path. They love, they're very creative, artsy. They want to be seen as unique and special. And they are probably the biggest feelers on the Enneagram. I would say they don't feel emotions. They are emotions. So the Taylor Swift lyric, I cry a lot, but I'm so productive. I would say that's like a type four right there, right? They're always like 3 seconds away from crying. You know, but they're just big feelers. And I would say like your feelings as a four, it's your superpower. Like it really is your superpower, because they are so authentic, and they're the people who come and bring safety to emotions to the people around them. And they're also the people who give you permission to be your true authentic self, because they just value it so much. So fours are so great. Type fives are known as the investigators. They are in the head triad. They're the first members of the head triad. So they are the data, cerebral, oriented type individuals. They're the most introverted on the Enneagram as well. So they are fearful of catastrophic inner depletion. They are very protective of their inner resources. It's very important for a type five to have a lot of time to themselves, because the world around them, it is just draining. It is just a draining place. But they are great with facts, with data. They love information. They love research. They're excellent when it comes to mental analysis. And they're motivated by information. They're motivated by information. They have a lot of great questions. They bring a lot to the table. Type sixes are known as the loyalists. They are great community members. They are their name. They are exceptionally loyal. I will say they are usually the most anxious on the Enneagram type. So type sixes, I would say they have like a peanut gallery in their head. And they are kind of waiting for, they're preparing for worst case scenario. So it's not that they are negative individuals, right? I think sometimes they're misunderstood as negative, but they are preparing for something catastrophic to happen. It's like they want to plan, they plan for the best, but they also prepare for the worst and expect the worst to happen. So they're always scanning the horizon to see what could cause a problem or what could go wrong. And they are running through all different types of scenarios of situations in their head before they make decisions. They make great leaders, but they also love having guidance. They love looking to an authority figure, and they're motivated by safety and security. So sometimes that's financial, sometimes it's relational, sometimes it's, loyalty, driven. There's so many different factors there, but safety and security is a top priority for them. Then you have the type sevens, which is me and quite possibly Megan, known as the enthusiasts. These individuals are very spontaneous. They're in the mental analysis triad, the head triad. So very quick thinkers, big picture visionary individuals, very creative, very adventurous. They are the ones, their core fear is really to be trapped in a space they don't want to be trapped in emotional pain, which like you hit the nail on the head, like right away. You're like, I am a control freak because I don't want to be stuck somewhere. Like, I don't want to get hurt. Right. Like, type sevens usually, are known as very positive individuals. A struggle for a seven is that they're not naturally in tune with their emotions because they're moving so quick and they're always looking for an escape to make sure they're not stuck anywhere that they don't want to be. So type eights are known as the challengers. These individuals, they are motivated by, they like to be in control of situations because they don't want to be manipulated or controlled by any other situation. Type eights are very justice oriented. They are always going to be like standing up for the underdog. And they really have a like electric fence around their core circle of individuals. They're very, very protective of themselves and the people around them. They have a fear of being vulnerable or manipulated. So everything they do is motivated by making sure that they or those they love are not in a position to be controlled. They want to be in charge. They're very intense individuals. I always say they're kind of like snowplows. They're like the snowplows of the world. You know, after a big snowstorm hits, I'm from Colorado, so I'm like very familiar with the snowstorms. You've got snowplows on the street, right? Which is so necessary so people can go places. Now, the thing that eights need to watch out for is make sure that they're in the center of the road because it's very easy for them and their intensity level to shift over a little bit and start nicking the cars on the side. So eights want to be very aware of, you know, the people around them to make sure that they're not, you know, running people over with their strong sense of justice and their desire to forge the way. And then last but not least, we have nines, which are known as the peacemakers. These are very harmonious individuals. They are known to go along, to get along. They do not like to rock the boat. They probably are the biggest conflict avoiders on the Enneagram. They have a huge fear of conflict. All that they desire is really internal peace and harmony. They love being outdoors. They're very grounded, empathetic individuals. Absolutely love them. Absolutely love them. I always say you can find a type nine cozied up in their blankies with snacks, a candle, some tea. they like to be safe and secure in their harmonious manner. So there's a quick overview of the nine different types. I'm super curious. I can't wait to go back and like look at the comments. I'm curious as to like who resonates with what.
Yeah. Drop a comment if you've been listening to the overview of what we're going over Enneagrams. We're talking all about, you know, lately it feels like no one's actually developing leaders, which is hard. Working with people is one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Right.
And talk about the letdowns, right? Like getting let down, you know, we're all human. We all make mistakes, you know, and you know, it's hard. But anyways, we're talking about why it's important to know, you know, what drives the people that you're working with to support them to success.
Right.
And it's been dead lately. Like not a lot of people out there are actually developing people and developing leaders, right? Mm-hmm. They're just focused on learning and how to make that perfect reel. So drop in the comment if you know your Enneagram or you were just listening. It was very interesting listening now versus, I want to say it's been almost 2 years since we first even talked about it, maybe a year and a half.
Yeah.
Like wing, like seven, wing eight. And I don't really feel like I respond. The eight, I'm like, it's funny how every number though, I could think of someone very specifically in my life, whether I was a team member, a leader on my team, or, you know, an ex-husband or, you know, or like different people in my life.
Yeah.
I could think of, but I really resonated with three. I feel like I'm more seven wing three of that achievement piece, but I don't know. It's interesting. I haven't taken a formal assessment. I feel like I need to do that, but it's really interesting to hear the breakdown even more now. I think me at my core, I'm a seven. Mm-hmm. If I could be anybody, but I feel like with the responsibility of being a mom, a business owner, a different side, whether it is some of that three or some, maybe even some of the eight, but I'm not a nine. That's for sure.
Clearly I'm not a nine, clearly not that. Well, you know, it's interesting. So a couple of things that you touched on. One, I would encourage, if you guys are watching this and you have not taken an assessment, I comment assessment below and I will drop in the comments my like favorite two assessments. One's a faith-based one, one's just a secular-based one. I always encourage people to take both. Like before I bring on a client, you know, my process is I say, take the assessments, but here's the deal. The assessment cannot actually tell you your type and it might not be right, but the goal of the assessment is to use it as a springboard for self-discovery, okay? It's a goal of taking it from, you know, all these possibilities to narrowing it down to like two or maybe three possible options, right? I've had clients come and they tested as a strong one and they actually were a seven. And I was able to dissect that, have a conversation with them and connect all of those dots because you have, there's so many, it's an onion. I told you it's an onion. Yeah. Like there's so many different layers, right? So if you haven't done an assessment, I will drop my favorite two in the comments when we're done chatting here. And I would love I'll just throw this out there. Comment a screenshot of your results below. And I'm going to like come back and give you a couple of thoughts in the comments below. So I think that'd be really fun. Just to kind of help you like, you know, get a little boost to kind of figure out which one you are. And you know, you've got everyone has their main type, right? And the reality is your main type does not change, okay? This is what's different about the Enneagram is it's not just your personality type. It's not just you're extroverted, you're introverted, right? Believe it or not, there's actually a lot of introverted sevens, okay? Which if you met me, I'm like a poster child for a stereotypical type seven, okay? Like, and so when somebody is, you know, sometimes someone who knows me, they're like, I don't feel like we're very similar, you know, like our traits and characteristics and stuff. What matters is the core motivation. Like that is really what we're looking at is what drives the behavior, not necessarily just the behavior itself. So everyone has their core type, which is established as a young adult. Your Enneagram type is made up some biology and some is as your brain, it's the way that your brain perceived and developed around information from infant until, you know, your mid 20s. So once you have your type, it's not changing. You know, the other thing to consider is that, you know, I always say your wings, think of it as a bird. So your main type is the body and your wings are the two types on each side. And, you know, these are just, so as a seven, I have a six wing and an eight wing. I usually lean more into the eight wing. That's naturally my stronger wing, just like your right and your left hand. But the reality is I may write with my right hand, but if I needed to, I could write with my left and I could learn how to write better with my left, right? They're just tools. My hands are tools that are accessible to me and I get to choose how I'm going to use them, right? Sometimes I carry my toddler, well, he's not a toddler anymore, but my child with my right side. Sometimes I carry it with my left side, right? It's the same thing. So your wings are going to be on either side. And then if you want to go just a little bit deeper, then you have your levels of alignment, which is the types that you pull from during seasons or situations of stress, or awareness and growth. So, you know, as a seven, I am connected not just to my six and my eight wing, but I also have a level of alignment of a type five and a type one. So it's so cool because like I said, it's like an internal GPS for me to identify my strengths and my motivations and all the things that are accessible to me naturally, right? Like I might have to fine tune and develop skill sets to go along with it, right? But I do have these natural inclinations, these God-given gifts that are within me. And the Enneagram just like gives you a magnifying glass so you can figure it out, right? And you know, when it comes to leadership, I think part of the reason leadership is dead is because we are developing leaders is a, like this dead art form or something that, you know, has gone below making the content and making the reels and hitting the achievement marks is because we lack self-awareness as individuals, right? Mm-hmm. You can't actually develop another person if you don't know how to develop yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
True. So good.
Yeah.
Gosh, I love that. Well, and that's really great too. I love that you're talking about the level of alignment because I feel like I also resonate with little pieces in different mm-hmm. seasons, like you said, yeah. when I'm feeling, you know, I mean, we all, right? When I'm feeling certain types of fears, I might go towards more towards like an, you know, whatever the number was with like security or yeah. whatever, you know, about to pop out a baby. And pregnant? Like, oh my gosh, we've been trying to do this podcast forever. Tim is like, hello, like, when are we doing this? And I'm like, I'm dying today. Oh, I'm getting married today. Oh, I'm in the hospital today. I'm getting blood work today. I'm puking my brains out right now. So yeah, six weeks left. Anyways, so okay, so this is so great. So I love the foundation we've established. So let's talk about mm-hmm. how are you utilizing these strategies in your network marketing business to drive the needle forward in your business, partnering with people and helping develop leaders today?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I think that there's so many different steps and there's so many different directions. So what I have found personally is, you know, like I just mentioned, it starts with you. Right? It starts with you. When you know, how can you help someone else find their roadmap if you don't know your own? You know, and this is something, you know, Megan had mentioned earlier, right? Like the rejection, the disappointments, the, you know, people who come all in hot and ready and they say that they want it, but there's actually like, as someone once told me, you know, you watch their feet, not just their mouths, right? And so you get people who are all saying, you know, I want this, I want this, I want to do this, I want to do this. And you get so motivated, so excited to, you know, go all in and help them. And they don't actually follow up or follow through, right? They, you know, you're trying to do your side, they're not doing yours. That can be devastating, right? Like that can be devastating and frustrating as a leader. And so when you can actually pinpoint what motivates you as a leader, this is when you can truly lean into your strengths. So this is really like what I would say, you know, you can't fill up other cups if you can't fill up your own first. And so I think as leaders, we have got to be self-aware, okay? We have got to know what drives us. We have got to know why we're doing the things that we're doing, or you will burn out and you will not get where you want to go. So the first step to understanding other people is actually really understanding yourself. And so when I was able to really realize, you know, I am motivated by fun, and that's not a bad thing, right? That's not a bad thing. That is something that charges me up. That is something that energizes me. That is something that helps me keep my leadership endurance high so that I am available for people who are ready to work with me, so that I am fully ready to embrace someone who is like, okay, I'm ready to walk the talk, you know, I'm ready to go and do the hard things and do the hard work. I can't support somebody in self-awareness if I'm not self-aware myself. So yeah. I think that's really like the first thing is really identifying your why, but identifying the core motivation underneath your why is transformative, you guys. It is absolutely transformative. And this, I just, the Enneagram and direct and you know, MLM, it goes together like so, so perfectly. Because it just adds an extra layer to the leadership conversation and even onboarding, right? Even onboarding, it starts with the onboarding when you have a new person who signs up.
Just about to go there.
Keep yes, going. Right. I'm like, even with onboarding, right? Mm-hmm. You know, understanding how you are communicating, right? We all have you ever like played the game of telephone, but like only with one other person? And you're like, that's not what I said. Like, but it feels like it went through 10 people before they like regurgitated that information back to you. You're like, I don't understand what's happening. So, you know, part of the Enneagram is actually understanding how you process and communicate information naturally. So there are three different ways that people communicate and that they take information in. Some of you are instinctual. Some of you are feelings oriented, heart centered, and some are logical, mental analysis, and the head triad, right? So we have the gut triad, the head triad, and the heart triad. So I'm curious, comment below. I'm going to come back and I want to read all the stuff. I want to know who thinks that they're what. And now I always say, it's not that I'm in the head triad as a type 7. So, you know, mental analysis, my mind is always running, always racing very quick, right? Mental analysis is my strength, but then it's my weakness when my anxiety kicks in, right? Because a very fast-paced mind, a very, very quick mind, that fine line, it can easily become a weakness of anxiousness, right? And so, it's not that I don't use my feelings or I don't use my instincts. I use them a lot. But the first way that my brain and my body takes in information is through mental analysis. And so that means that's often the last way that I am communicating information. And so, you know, I'm not saying that you have to type every new person that comes in. Again, it starts with you. Understand how you are communicating and then understand how other people communicate. So sometimes, you know, have you ever been in a situation, Megan, where you you're speaking with a consultant or a rep, or, you know, whatever you guys call them, whatever your company calls it. And, you know, you have told them something numerous times, right? Numerous times. And then somebody else comes in and they say the same thing. And they're like, what is brand new information? And you're like, what?
I've been telling you this for months.
Yeah. What? You know what, though? You're not speaking their language. And that's not the fault. It's not that you're not communicating well. It's that you're communicating different. And so this is what's so powerful, is when you can realize, oh, I am speaking through the head triad and they listen through their heart. You have to change the words that you're using. You can say the same thing, but you can communicate it differently, right? Yeah. And, you know, this is like, if I only were to talk about the triads and communication, like, we could be here for 6 hours, because this is something that I think seeps into every aspect. This is how you connect with people, is you speak their language, right? And just taking the one thing that you're saying and tweaking it, you know, for a different triad is going to triple the amount of people who are going to hear and see what you're actually trying to communicate, whether it's sales, a business opportunity, leadership development, but with onboarding, right? When have you ever had somebody come in and they're just like, oh, I'm just like, I feel overwhelmed, right? Starting a new business is overwhelming. There's platforms to learn. There's products to learn. There's people, like, there's so much to learn. But when you can break it down into applicable steps in their language, they're actually going to feel connected with, right? You're actually going to be connecting with them better. And you're going to build that trusting relationship, and you're going to be able to, like, partner with them and guide them and actually equip and empower them, as opposed to just like feeling like you're shooting off information and you're like, why aren't they doing anything?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I'm thinking too of, like, you know, when you talked about getting to the core root of their why, right?
Yeah.
And when you're asking questions during onboarding, because when you're onboarding someone, you should be asking a lot of questions. It's not just, you know, why do you want to do this business? But also, even if you're setting a goal, like when I'm partnering with someone, I'm like, okay, I want you to imagine the end of the month and we reach that goal and you earn that XYZ bonus or whatever it is that's motivating them, right? What are you going to do? Where are you going to go celebrate? How are you going to celebrate? Like, getting to the specific of, like, what restaurant are you going to go to? What are you going to order? You know, what dessert are you going to get? Because that tells me too about them, right? Mm-hmm. What's motivating them. And it's bringing up that, like, that self-awareness, that self-actualization of it happening. They're envisioning it happening, right?
It's vision casting.
They're manifesting it. And it's interesting too, you know, you can tell, like, I love to ask a question too, like, here's our core rank. Here's, you know, we're talking about, how do we get there? How fast do you want to get to XYZ income? Right. Based off their answers, I can usually tell a little bit of their personality type too, because they'll either be like, as fast as possible, what are 3 things I need to do right now? Or they'll be like, you know, at some point, like, I just would be happy with this month. You know, or they're going to dive into, like, a lot of logical questions or into the more of the emotion. And that's how too, you can kind of know where to go, how to talk to them, how to communicate with them, what to share with them. It's the same thing when we're talking to prospects,
right?
You know, it's one of our old compensation plans. we had 12 different ways to get paid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not going to talk about all 12 ways we get paid and right. the science. I'm going to ask questions, find out what's important to them, and then touch on like two or three points that I know would fuel that drive them to making a decision.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's moving and inspiring people to action, which is all, that's all what we're doing. Right.
Yes. Yes. So, I love that.
But yeah, I love that. I love just the deeper understanding too. I've never actually heard that. Of the gut, the heart, the head of the instinctual, what did you say?
Yep. So you have the instinctual triad, the gut triad, the head or mental analysis triad, and then the heart or the feeling yeah. center.
Mm-hmm. I am such a logical person too. When someone gives me an idea or something, I immediately go into logic of like the reasons it wouldn't work. And I'm like, or that it would. And yes. then I'm like, I won't entertain a conversation anymore. It's kind of a way I protect my time too. Maybe mm-hmm. that is maybe a wing A, I don't know. But how I protect my time, I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, I'm not even going to entertain this idea or conversation because it logically doesn't make sense to me. Even yeah. though I'm a very emotional person,
right.
I'm like boundaried up of my time. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, that doesn't even make sense. And, you know, that's also can be, even though it can be a strength, like you said earlier, it can be a weakness
yeah.
for growth because I may be missing something that could be really great,
right.
but I'm protective and I'm in the logical mode of what yeah. I know. And
my you're such a seven. Yeah.
Wait, I thought that was eight. I'm confused. Why does that?
Well, I know. I'm like, oh my gosh, Ski, you're such a seven. So everything I heard right there, you tapped into a, I'm just going to tell you, tapped into a six wing, an eight wing, and a type one level of alignment, and a five. You hit all the marks of a type seven. Every line connected in like that little paragraph right there.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, yeah, that's me, I guess. So I don't know. I just feel like I resonate with the achievers a little bit.
Yeah.
Just because we talk a little bit of like the achievement piece. I'm not driven by recognition anymore. I used to be.
Yeah.
But I feel like once you walk stage and you do the thing and you're on the billboards and you're like,
what's okay, next? That's cool.
Like, I want my team up there. Like, yeah. I don't really care about being
because you're a visionary. So threes, yeah. so sevens and threes, there are mistypes, right? There's a lot of people who are like, you know, I have two people who I know very well and we're still trying to type them. You know, it's crazy. Because most people we can knock out a type in 1 to 2 sessions, you know. But you know, common mistypes, seven and threes are very common mistypes. And it's part of, I think, the fact that sevens are such visionary people, right? And so it's so much, you know, so sevens are so good at seeing the vision. Who doesn't like recognition? Okay. It's fun. Here's the thing. We're motivated by fun. It's fun to walk the stage. Yeah. It's fun to be recognized. It's fun to take the pictures in the sparkly dress with the plaques. Like, it's so fun, right? It's fun to be celebrated. But it's not what motivates us, right? It's not what motivates you. And so sevens are high achievers. They're absolutely high achievers. They just find a fun way to go about it. And it's not necessarily directly connected to their like sense of self-worth or value. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. so, okay. That makes sense. So yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I kind of feel the three, but it's not a need for me. The achievement isn't a need. It's a piece, like you said, of the fun. And at my core, I'm like, even though I feel like, oh, I want a sense of security, whether that's financial or whatever, it's so that I cannot feel trapped in and I can be spontaneous. Like me at my core, I'm like, oh, I hate committing to events on the weekends because I'm like, what if I want to take a one-way flight to Disney World?
I don't want to miss out on anything else. Yeah.
And that was my life for a few years. It's not today because I'm 8 months pregnant and we've got a lot of life changes. But like I would miss out, especially living in Texas. I would miss out on like a lot of things because I wouldn't commit because I was like, you know, like I think I'm looking at the Florida weather and, you know, and thanks to this business, I could just hop on one-way flights whenever I want.
I'm going to go to Hawaii today.
I did that.
I know.
The week before Thanksgiving, I was in Arizona and my friend and I, who's like my sister, we kind of got into it a little bit, like not bad, but there was some family stuff going on and I was like, I'm getting out of here. We left at 5 a.m. Anthony drove around in this Jeep. Okay, this is how seven I am.
Such classic seven. Continue. We've officially typed Megan.
It's raining. Okay. And I'm driving around with no cover on a Jeep with my suitcase in the back and my six-year-old in the back. And we're like deciding what we're going to do. I like can't decide. Do we drive to California, go to Legoland and Disney, or do we jump on a flight to Disney World? Do we fly to Hawaii? So we pulled over to a Black Bear diner, I think. And I reviewed our options. I didn't for sure make the decision, but I was like, I think we're going to go to Hawaii. We drove to the airport and I was like, I feel good about this. And actually we drove to
Hawaii.
What?
I still think we're going to go to Hawaii.
I was like, but I'm not sure because I don't want to commit. Because what if I pull up to the airport and someone's like, free tickets to Disney World or something? Like, this is the craziest in my head.
Yes. And,
oh my gosh. Anyways, we took a one-way flight to Hawaii. We had a blast. It was amazing. But yeah. Okay. I'm definitely a seven. Yeah.
So what I heard was you were in an uncomfortable, negative, trapped situation and you decided to go to Hawaii instead.
That is me at my core. Like,
yes.
Run to the frilly land to avoid the non-fun activity. It's not even that it's conflict. I'm not necessarily scared of conflict, but I'm like, oh, I don't like that. No, like I'm going to go to Disney.
Or
I'm
going to Hawaii.
Yeah. So 100%. That's good to know because like I can think of my upline. She knows that about me. So she's very great at, you know, inspiring me into action because she knows what drives me. Right. Yes. Whereas before she'd motivate me with like Tiffany's and stuff. And I have so many Tiffany bracelets. They're cute.
Right.
They did not motivate me.
Yeah. Right. Right. Well, so funny. Everyone jokes about sevens and like, you know, it's like for Christmas, I'm a size, you know, 36C window seat, you know, plane ticket to Peru, you know, like it's like, just give me plane tickets and trips and vacations and spontaneous experiences and I'm good. Right. And, you know, the flip side of that is the like they always say that like sevens, like the world is like cotton candy. Right. The world is like, you know, I'll just say this is not so much fun, but the weakness of a type seven is actually gluttony, right? Because they say the world, it's everything is like cotton candy, right? You get a bite of cotton candy and it's gone. Right. So it's like always chasing happiness, you know, always chasing.
Did you know about the empty cheese danishes in my kitchen? Oh my gosh. I bought them yesterday and they're all gone.
What?
You know me so well. Yes. Okay.
That's how the Enneagram is like a mind blowing, insightful, like, I mean, when you know what motivates someone, then you can truly speak to their core and that like, that's just the best way to connect with them. Right. And to serve them and to help them get where they're going. And so even if you're developed, you know, the person you're working with, even if they don't know their core motivation, you know, if you have a good awareness of the nine types, if you have a good awareness of the three triads, right? Like even just some of the basic information, like seriously, just go get that free download, right? If you can just start speaking some of that to them, it gives you a higher success rate of connectivity. And then you can meet them where they are and actually help them navigate towards their goals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So I'm going to ask you a question and then I want to hear your biggest kind of mistake you feel like you've made. In network marketing,
mm-hmm.
We'll share your scripture, share your download and wrap up. But
what
might be just like one example that someone could leave here today. Let's say they're jumping on an onboarding call or a goal setting call with one of their leaders. What's one thing that they could do knowing that personality type? Maybe it's certain types of questions to ask or an example to help guide them towards a goal this month, especially in such a big month, right, of the year. To help them partner and help them partner with that person to success this month.
You know, I think if I had to give you one thing, I would say lean into understanding the three triads just a little bit better and communicating that because, you know, I can ask, I can help someone envision a future. I can help someone envision a goal, like kind of like we were talking about earlier, right? Where are you going to go eat? How are you going to celebrate? What are you going to get to eat and drink? Like who's going to be there with you, right? You can help them see that. But if I'm talking to someone in the feelings triad, I need to be asking how they're going to feel, about that, right? How they're going to feel when they achieve that, how they're going to feel when they're with that person, when they're at that location, right? And so I think just being able to insert different words, like, what do you like, tell me what you think about this versus, you know, or tell me how you, how this will make you feel, right? That is a really good way to connect kind of the worlds together for them and take it deeper. Because somebody in the feelings triad, they are motivated by how they feel, right? They're motivated by how they feel, as opposed to someone in the head triad, I'm motivated by possibility, by potential, by what I think, by data, right? So it's, you know, it's, if you're talking about, here's an income level that you want to earn, here's a sales goal that you have, or a team building goal that you have, you know, whatever, you want to be talking to someone in the heart triad about how they're going to feel, how that's going to make them feel, how others around them are going to feel, because that is like what drives them. And that's what really motivates them, right? Versus if you're in the feelings triad, and you're asking someone who's a 5, 6, or 7 how they feel, they're going to be like, I don't know, anxious and goal oriented. Like, give me the steps to do it.
You know? That's me. Oh my gosh. I'm like, yeah, I don't care about the fluff.
I know. Oh, I don't care about how we feel. I don't know. I'll see when I get there, but like, I need to achieve it first, right?
Yeah. What about an the gut? What would be a question, I guess? So I love that. Because I don't use the word think a lot, just from the sales background of like, never ask people how they think. So this is a good reminder of how you can use it.
You can.
So what do you think of that versus how will you feel versus what would be a gut question?
You know, it's funny. Gut is more, you know, you can say either or with somebody in the gut triad because their instincts are tied to their logic and their feelings. They're very instant thinkers. So they're like, you know, usually before you even get the sentence out, they already know how they feel about it. And so, you know, I will say people in the gut triad, they are very passionate and justice oriented individuals. And so they are most likely doing this, not just for themselves, but for someone else. And so asking who it's going to positively affect, you know, kind of asking about that ripple effect. They like to cause a positive, they like to make an impact, right? They're motivated by passion and making an impact and being in control of their own life and their own destiny. And so, you know, kind of asking about that ripple effect, I think, is a great way to start identifying if someone is in that instinctual, you know, center, and noticing it. Being a good active listener is really important. You know, really being a good active listener is so important. And I will say that is the biggest struggle for people in the head triad, because our minds are moving so quickly, right? So feelings oriented people are usually really good at this. Head triad, not. It's a skill set, right? Like, it's, I have a 4 client and she's like, how do you do this all day as a 7? And I'm like, I have practiced a lot. Like,
I couldn't do. Yeah. It's, I mean, yeah. Cause not only am I 7, but I'm also ADHD. So I'm definitely always thinking about what am I going to say next while someone's talking, not out of a bad intention or selfishness,
right.
Out of trying to be productive of the conversation.
It's just right? The mental.
Save our time, be productive, be on task, like a little bit of type A-ness there. And so, yeah.
It's that strength when it leans over into the weakness side, right? When your focus on productivity is actually causing a disconnect with the person that you're trying to have a conversation with and connect with, that's a great example of, you know, when it kind of crosses that line. And so, you know, I think just as the sponsor, as the leader, or, you know, as this, whatever your role is over the next, you know, couple of weeks, my gosh, it's really November 15th already. You know, by the end of the month, you know, practicing, you know, and this is a good way to tell yourself maybe where you stand, right? Is how difficult is it to be an active listener? Are you listening to actually hear the information and then think and respond? Or are you just listening to respond? You know what I mean? How intentional are you with slowing your mind down, grounding yourself, and, you know, truly being present in the moment, as opposed to thinking of your next thing on your to-do list, the next call, the next person that you need to talk to, you know, all that stuff. So I hope that helps answer your question.
That's great. Awesome.
Yeah.
So I should have asked you this in the beginning, but what do you feel like? I feel like you've already set the foundation for this question, but what do you feel like is Kim's like biggest mistake that you've made? Like, if you could go back and change like one thing in your whole career, what would it be?
So many things. Which is good, right? Which is good. We should have so many things, or we're not very self-aware. Yeah. You know, I think the first thing, you know, I feel like this is really cliche, but it really is true for me. So I'm going to give you like three quick ones. But one is, you know,
you're a seven. Of course you have to give me three. Instead I know. Of like, you're an overachiever.
I can't just pick one. There's too many, mistakes. This is my authenticity showing, right? This is the reality of the situation. You know, one, I did not have enough of a belief in myself. And again, this is where the Enneagram set so much free for me is, you know, I thought that all of these things that now I know are strengths, I discredited them. And I don't think that I was as authentic as I should have been in the beginning of this journey. And that actually hindered me from connecting with other people. And it's not that I was trying to be fake. It's not that I wasn't wanting or trying to be, you know, my authentic self. It's that, you know, and I think this is a common thing in the network marketing industry is we focus on duplication so much, which is good. And we need to have duplication. That's important. But we need to have authentic duplication. We need to be able to take a strategy and help people tweak it to their best self, right? Take a schedule, take a checklist and help tweak it so it authentically aligns with their strengths, their triad, their goals, and their core motivations and how they process information in their day-to-day life. And so, you know, for so long, I tried to almost like suppress my craziness, my spontaneity, you know, like I looked at it as like a fault, right? I wasn't organized enough. I couldn't do this well enough. Like I looked at it as a fault when really now I know it's actually a strength. It's actually what attracts people to me. It's actually what makes people connect with me and how people feel real and authentic with me. You know, so again, it was really embracing my authentic self and realizing this is how I was created and it wasn't by mistake. This is where I'm supposed to be. And I have been given gifts to help me in this industry, to help me build a massive business in this industry. And not just for myself, but like as a vision caster, as someone who sees the big picture, and then I can find the ways to get there through my mental analysis. I get to come in and help other people do this too. So all the things I tried to put to the side and fit into this mold, it wasn't serving me, right? It wasn't serving me.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. So many mistakes, but we fail forward and we learn to, like you just said, to help people through it.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so what is your favorite biblical scripture that you have, if you have one you'd like to share? Cause I always
I do. I sent you one and now I'm trying to figure out exactly what it was because it was like perfect. Yes. Okay. So I had to like find the notes that you sent me. So I really love Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have to you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That one, you know, again, it just like aligns so much with my natural, like big picture mentality, you know, and, you know, not being afraid of big dreams. I think oftentimes we, you know, even as Christians and even as Christian women, let's be real, like sometimes we put our dreams down or, you know, we look at our dreams as selfish or, you know, we think if it's not, we forget that our dreams are actually serving other people, right? Or we look at our dreams as selfish because maybe our, priorities need to slightly shift during a season of life, right? My gosh, if I hear like one more person tell me that they can't follow their dreams because they have to do everyone's laundry, like I'm gonna explode, right? Like, you know, but like, these are the conversations that we have.
I don't do the laundry.
I know, is this like, go build a business and you can pay some other amazing person.
There's three people here right now. I have one cleaning.
Yes.
I have one laundry. And I have two actually. There's four people here. Two doing stuff for the baby shower, but I'm not paying them. They're my friends. I am like, the master delegator.
Right? Well, but we have to. Like, we have to. And, you know, we allow ourselves to, you know, use God or use things as an excuse to not follow our dreams. But I'm like, God has given you a plan. He has given you a purpose. He has given you a dream in your heart for a reason. And, you know, someone told me once, your obedience is tied to other people's blessings. And I never forgot it. Like, I never forgot it, you know, and this is not like a boastful thing or anything like that. But it's like the amount, because I said yes to my network marketing company. And because I said yes to conquering the fears, and because I partnered with God to help me through all of that and to grow through all of that. Now there are thousands of other women who are getting products for free or discounted or making an income and an impact in their own family and in their own lives. And, you know, we forget that when we don't say yes to opportunities that we feel called and passionate to because we're scared, because we're fearful of something, which is where those core motivations come in. Like it's not only us who's affected, right? It's not only us who's affected. And so then the other one that kind of helps us with that, because I think that's a scary thing, right? It is a big scary thing to say yes to leaping into something new, leaping into something hard and scary where we don't know what the plan is, right? Especially for someone in the head triad, I'm like, I need to know what the plan is. I need to know what's happening. I don't want to get stuck somewhere I don't want to be. Like, that's not fun. But Proverbs 3:5-6, where, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. As a semi-anxious person, like that eases that anxiety quite a bit, right? It helps me remember I was called to something for a reason, and the Lord is going to show me how to get there. He is not going to just, you know, good luck, you know. If he's going to call you to it, he's going to, you're either already equipped, he already gave you what you needed, and he's going to be there to help you along the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I love it. Well, guys, let's show Kimberly some love in the comments. We so appreciate you for coming on today. Yeah. We are going to get this uploaded for our an official podcast episode. So we'll have a ton of links with, you know, how to find out, how to follow Kimberly online, how to grab some of her freebies. Kim, if you have any of those freebie links, so if you want to go to my page and drop them in the comments, that would be fabulous. She'll kind of engage with a couple of the comments, like take her up on those freebies because they're awesome. Great ways to develop your mind, to assess yourself like she talked about. So this has been really eye-opening for me too. I was like, I don't know if you saw me typing. I was like taking massive notes. I have a whole thing on 1 through 9 and then all these takeaways. So good. So is there anything else you wanted to share before we kind of wrap up here?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, yeah, feel free. I do offer like, you know, coaching services. I do offer free consults and things like that. You know, I do different, you know, group trainings and educations and stuff. And I specialize in marketing through the Enneagram. I actually have a free course up and ready to go on that. It's a mini course. It's like a module. So I'll be sure to link that below if that's something that you are interested in as well. But yeah, this was so great. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm glad we finally synced up. We did it.
It's been crazy. Oh my gosh. I love it. Well, guys, one last thing we do have, I think Mark is going to drop something in the comments. We've got also our Black Friday playbook. You guys have seen me posting about that. If you're wondering how do I take advantage of Black Friday to build a strong business, not just this month, but over the next 12 months, I have put together every single hack for having the best Black Friday ever and setting yourself up for next year for the best 2025. So you can grab that Black Friday playbook in the comments as well. We're going to drop that link. Go grab that. That's absolutely free. I've seen other people charge like $47 to like $197 for stuff like this. So I'm a little bit crazy. Maybe it's because I'm a 7. I don't know. But I'm like, take it all. Just please let me help you avoid all my mistakes.
A little bit crazy. Yes.
That's awesome. Hope those strategies help. Kim, it's been so awesome. Guys, have a wonderful day. Happy November. See y'all later.
Thank you.
Hey, I hope you got massive value from today's podcast. If you did, please leave us a review of what you loved. I read every single comment and review. And hey, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you get notified when we drop new interviews so you can stay up to date on all the ninja hacks to building a 7-figure network marketing business. Hey, by the way, I have a free gift for you. It's a free training made just for you to help you scale your business. You can grab it below in the comments and the show notes. But in exchange, could you do me just one favor? share this episode with someone that you think could get the same value of it that you out of it that you did, and help me spread the word to help more network marketers make less mistakes. See you on the next episode of the Biggest Network Marketing Mistakes Podcast.